Hey, everybody, before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that we are doing live shows at Largo in Los Angeles on October 15th at 8 and 10 p.m. Come out and join us for those live shows. Tickets are available at largo-la.com. June will be at the first show. She will not be at the second show, but it will be super fun to have you there. Now, you probably heard, but the Now Hear This festival is happening October 28th through 30th in Anaheim, California, and there's going to be a very special live performance of How Did This Get Made there. All the schedules are online at the NowHearThisFest.com, and we'll be performing on Saturday night. That means that if you just want to come and see us, single-day passes are now available. So if you can only make it for one day, make sure it's Saturday or you'll miss out on our show. There are still some three-day passes left. Don't forget to check out the full lineup to see the new additions like Doug Gloves Movie, movies, NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's going to be super, super fun. We are so excited to be there. Go to NowHearThisFest.com to get tickets and information about hotels, transportation, ticket options, and everything. Saturday night, How Did This Get Made? Big, big show. Join us and people like WTF and Comedy Bang Bang and The Gist and Hello from the Magic Tavern, Hollywood Handbook, Jordan and Jesse Go. It's going to be a great, great weekend. It's Short Circuit meets Top Gun sprayed in Axe body spray. We saw Stealth, so you know what that means. Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made? Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by Jason Mantzoukas.
Paul! How are you?
I'm good. We're back from our break.
Back from paternity leave.
Yes.
You had a baby.
Had a baby. As the listeners of the mini episode know, baby Zardoz was born 15 pounds, 12 ounces.
Yeah.
Giant baby.
Full beard, right?
Full beard. just so you know, June still on maternity leave, and we'll be that way for a little bit of time. So you're just going to get the sultry sounds of Jason and I.
Ooh, boys club.
Yeah.
Talking about wieners and boobies.
I just realized that June, knowing that I just called the baby Zardoz in here, will not be happy by any of that.
Oh, really?
Maybe not talking about his penis.
Okay, we can cut that out.
We have a very special guest joining us today. He is a tremendously funny actor, writer, comedian. He most recently wrote and produced for the Key and Peele show. Please welcome Charlie Sanders.
Hey, what's up?
Charlie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Three-time Emmy nominee.
Thank you.
Charlie Sanders.
Three times. How many did you bring home? How many statuettes?
Zero, sir.
Where do you keep your Emmys, Charlie?
In the hands of other TV writers. other people have them.
I'm so excited that you were here for this, and I asked Charlie to come on the show, and we were texting last night as you were watching the movie, and your enthusiasm for it got me excited because I am equally excited about this movie.
It was amazing.
For those of you who don't know, very quickly, this movie is about a team of ace fighter pilots who get partnered with a sentient robot plane.
Yeah.
We'll get into it, but that's the big premise of this movie. And this movie cost a shitload. It was $135 million.
Whoa. Is that true?
That is the budget. $135 million. It came out in 2005. And the movie is supposedly taking place in the future.
The near future.
Which apparently, according to Wikipedia, it's 2016. So we can talk
is
about
it. Is it
really? Yes. Because this came out, so it was 11 years in the future. We can now talk about it and see.
So by that measure, They were like, oh, it's supposed to take place in 2016, but people are still going to listen to like shitty rap rock.
Incubus all the way.
That's right. These bands are still going to be cool in 11 years.
The only attempt at making this movie take place in the future is that one guy who wore Google Glass. Like that one guy. That was it. There was nothing.
Well, also when they fly their planes, their legs go straight out rather than they're in a chair.
Okay. That's all right. So I didn't know that much about planes, but that is,
I mean, I think usually your legs go down like in a car. I assumed, I guess. But
it's not like a kayak.
Yeah, they're going kayak style. They are basically like
sky kayaking.
The thing that gets me about movies and planes is, you know, obviously it's a very isolating experience. You're in a plane. But what they did in this movie that made me laugh was they fly so fucking close together.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And they're always turning out the window to talk to each other. Yeah. Like, they're like, hey, what's up? Like,
they're making tons of eye contact. Like, they want it to feel like intimate, like they're all hanging out together.
Yeah.
So they fly like wing to wing and they use everybody's communication is so casual.
Oh, it's amazing.
They're so casual. Like, I think, you know, pilots in those situations are using only exclusively like jargon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And usually only saying what is absolutely necessary about what's going on. I don't think they're like broing down.
Well, you know, this is directed by the guy who directed the Fast and Furious movies, also The Boy Next Door. But it has a bro feel to it, because it is we're just fucking dudes and this guy and a cool as shit girl,
yeah, totally,
man.
Totally, yeah.
This girl, she's one of the guys.
She's one of the guys.
I gotta say, we were talking right before the start, and I said, you know, to me, everyone equips themselves pretty well in this movie. Like, I don't think there's any really bad acting. I think the dialogue is insane, but like, I can't be like, oh, it's just the stupidest movie I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is pointless. I am shocked to find out that they spent $130 million on it, because it feels like a movie that people would make to just put out and see how much money it makes.
Yeah.
It's almost like whatever. It came out 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's 10 years ago's Gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally. Like, why did they spend that much money on something that didn't have enormous stars?
It actually is one of the biggest flops of all time. Wow. The eighth in history of biggest flops, because it only made $13 million on the first.
One person bought a ticket.
One person got a ticket, and it was an elderly person.
Did you find, like, okay, so the movie is about these, like, three hotshot pilots, Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel, and Jamie Foxx, but I didn't know who the main character was. I knew Jessica Biel was not the main character.
Yeah, definitely. And Jamie Foxx dies so early.
Yes.
Like, spoilers.
Spoiler. Yeah. I guess Josh Lucas is.
But when Jamie Foxx dies, we're jumping ahead, but he... Like, I was not expecting that moment.
No, me neither.
At all.
I was like, whoa. I mean, I was shocked he was doing the movie, because it's his next movie after he won an Oscar for Ray.
I was just
going to
say,
Ray?
Where did this come in Ray?
I feel like this is like the Halle Berry Catwoman thing. It's like, whoa, they're awesome. And then they all of a sudden they're like, how much money for this movie? I'll get in a fucking plane.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He was, you know, great and charming, and Josh Lucas, totally fine and charming.
Josh Lucas was totally an actor that was doing
and
scenes and saying lines.
And Jesse Biel was great.
They're all good.
But none of them were like, A, none of these characters were that interesting. Yeah, and B, like, they had so little to do that
you could argue you couldn't, if we were all to challenge each other right now to say, separate the characters, like, describe attributes of these characters.
Well, I almost feel like it would have made more sense to just have it be one pilot versus the plane.
Totally.
Well, they didn't need three characters.
Well, it seems like the writers and the people making the movie figured that out an hour into the movie, because then they basically just did that. They just got rid of everybody else and just became Josh Lucas and the plane.
The one attempt at a character trait, I texted you this when I was watching it, was at some point early on, Jessica Biel and Josh Lucas are in Josh Lucas's dorm room or whatever you call it in the Navy. And she says something, and he is like, oh, that reminds me of this foster mother I had. And he tells like this story where you can't really follow like how it applies to what she said. And then she's like, it seems like you've got a foster mother story for every situation. And he goes, I lived through my childhood. I might as well use it. And you're like, okay, so I guess... He had like a weird childhood with a bunch of foster parents or something. And then that applies not at all to anything that happens.
No, there's no, I mean, I guess.
It's just like part of why but was that story meant to like get to tweak at her heartstrings? Like, so that is it? Because his whole thing is like, he just can't stop getting laid.
Yeah.
This guy is drowning in puss, but he's in love with Jessica Biel and she's in love with him.
They don't really even show it. Like, I would say the arguably the scene where you could really dig into that is when they all take a quick vacation to Thailand.
Yes. Why on earth? And they even say it in the movie. They get to the aircraft character. The whole thing is like, you finally got a mission. You're going to the aircraft character. They carry you. They get there. And then they're like, great, you have R&R in Thailand. And Josh Lucas goes, didn't we just get here?
Yeah.
They literally, that was the actor asking. Yes. And they just kept the
tape. Like, keep it. It works. It works.
Well, I mean, and so they get to Thailand and they all have their separate adventures. Their hangover-esque adventures, but you would think that they must have had terrible chemistry because they shoot this scene by a waterfall and they have no dialogue.
That's right, yeah.
It's just like a montage of them taking pictures of each other. And it was like, yeah, they love each other. They love to take pictures of each other.
They're at a waterfall.
Everybody's a photographer.
Everyone is a photographer in this movie.
You know how you show someone you love them? Take a lot of pictures of them.
It was really like, we don't need dialogue. We just need her to take pictures of him. He takes pictures of her. And then they'll jerk it to him, those pictures later.
Quick, just while we're talking about that, right before they get to the aircraft carrier, that was one other near future specific that really cracked me up, was they're at that bar and they're establishing, oh, Josh Lucas gets laid a lot.
Yeah.
And the only future specific is they all have martini glasses and the martini glasses have weird different stems than a normal martini glass.
Oh, I didn't notice
that. It kind of looks like a Star Trek glass or something. Amazing. It's got like a weird wide stem. You're like, ooh, future. Ah, yes, the near future.
Oh, future martini. We're going to need glasses for everybody to drink out of, but like not from now. Like future. You know that how every 10 years glasses are totally different.
I wish they had a quark from like Deep Space Nine behind the bar, just a full on fucking alien Ferengi. Like, well, what would you like to drink? They never explained it. I also had an issue with that, and this is an issue that no one will appreciate but me. But they're in Nevada eating sushi, and I was like, I don't know if that's the best place to go for sushi.
Move. Yeah, bad move.
Can we play favorite line?
Oh, man, we're going to get a lot of Nevada sushi.
Let me tell you, they fly it in, and it's delicious. So let me play you this scene. This is the girl that Josh Lucas is with, this slutty girl. And they're really trying.
We're not going to say she's slutty. We're not going to slut shame this poor girl.
No, mm-hmm. You're right. She's not slutty.
She is not slutty. She is just the girl that Josh is spending some time with that evening. They seem to have a great relationship.
Yeah, they're rapport.
Just locking lips, kissing each other. Take a listen to this scene at the bar.
I'll be back in a second. I got to go pee-pee.
Well, all right, so just all of them right there. So basically,
but she says it across the whole table to her other friend.
Yeah.
And you're thinking like, oh, that's because girls go to the bathroom together. And the other girl goes, no.
Yeah.
So the girl goes to the bathroom alone.
But that's, to me, like, I was like, is that how they're showing that this girl is not right for him? Because there isn't she doesn't do anything wrong besides say pee-pee.
Yeah, totally.
And I was like, yeah, we got to show they're not meant to be together. You know, she says
pee-pee. Well, it's just like more opportunities for Jessica Biel, who's with them. Because this is the thing. It's like Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel, and Jamie Foxx. On either end, Jamie and Josh are talking to girls, and Jessica Biel is like in her dress, navy whites, like alone in the middle, like just rolling her eyes. Like all she does is roll her eyes.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of rude that they would pick up these like two girls it seemed like they were celebrating. They had a victory there.
Yeah, totally.
And then she's just really the odd person out because it wasn't like they were.
They don't talk to her, Jessica Biel. Yeah. They don't engage with, like, once there's two girls to talk to, they're just like, yeah, we're ignoring you.
She literally is in the middle, like almost like Charlie Brown, just like, oh.
Yeah.
So the premise of this movie is these people drive or fly the coolest planes, but then an even cooler.
They fly the only three stealth planes in existence. Yes.
Right.
11,000 people applied or something in these three.
And then these are the three that were chosen. And then a cooler plane comes in, and we find out that plane is being piloted by itself.
Yeah, AI. This is like artificial intelligence. This movie is like, what if HAL, the computer from 2001, instead was in a highly weaponized plane.
Yeah, totally.
And it seems to me also that for these pilots, they're working. I mean, and this is something I kept on going back to, is like, they make a big deal out of, like, Jessica Biel and Josh Lucas are like, no collateral damage. They never want collateral damage, which is a thing that's good, but also weird because aren't you, like, once you're in the Army or Navy or whatever, your opinion doesn't really matter. Like, you can't go like, oh, we won't run this mission.
Well, they're one of the three chosen hotshots, maybe it
they
does.
Are one of the three. They are the three people that are piloting these planes. They almost every step of this movie, they are disobeying orders and calling their own shots.
That's right.
Like, no, like, it's as if, like, you don't have to follow orders in the military.
No, no. It's suggestions. Yeah. Yes. Sam Shepard's making suggestions.
Sam Shepard's like, blow up that building. We're like, we don't want to.
He's like, come on back then. Yeah, it's up to you, you know? Blow it up if you want to.
And it's like, and also, Josh Lucas does the dumbest thing because they're flying with this AI plane. And the whole thing is like, if you attack this building in a certain way, you'll implode it and it will fall down, not creating any collateral damage.
Oh, yeah.
But because he's human, if he does it, he might pass out because the G-force is so intense. But he's so cocky, he's like, fuck that. I'm going to do
AI.
It. Why not just let the AI? Like, I'm kind of on the robot side. Like, let the robot do
it. Wasn't it the AI's idea? Isn't it Eddie that goes, if you... it's not even a robot voice like that. It's like, if you want... Just like a chill dude. Yeah.
It's almost like... It sounds to me like they're trying to do Hal the Robot. It's like overly... Oh, yeah.
Do you know who it is?
Overly calm and confident.
It's Wentworth Miller from Prison Break.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that, nice. Just an interesting side note. It wasn't just...
He had a huge career just doing VO. For machine before he got prison.
We should hear the drone talking. This is the scene of them talking with the drone.
Tin Man rejoining formation. Mission achieved. 100. Over. 100.
You disobeyed a direct order. You put innocent civilians in harm's way. You put our squadron at risk.
Damn straight.
Tin Man did what you did in Rangoon. You taught me.
Listen to me, you little shit. When you fly with me, you do what I tell you when I tell you to do it.
You're just not getting it, are you, Eddie? Eddie is the whole idea. Selecting other targets. Detaching formation.
So they can basically have full fights with this robot. Oh, yeah,
the robot is basically giving them the equivalent of, I learned it from watching you.
Oh, that was so amazing.
You know, and I was like, wait a minute, what?
Hey, everybody, we have to take a quick break in the show right now for a word from our sponsors. I am so excited about this. I am a big fan of the show High Maintenance. I started watching it when it was on Vimeo, and now it is coming to HBO with 6 exclusive half-hour episodes starting Friday, September 16th at 11 p.m. High Maintenance, if you don't know, was created by a married duo, Katja Blickfeld and Ben Sinclair, who write and direct every single episode, and it revolves around a guy who delivers pot to people. And each episode has multiple stories exploring the inner workings of people from all walks of life, told in a very fly-on-the-wall style through the patented offbeat humor and pathos that this show has. It's a great show that I did not just do a great job explaining. It's awesome. I definitely think you should check it out. Check it out on HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO In Demand. I can't wait to see what they did with it on HBO. If you liked it on Vimeo, you're going to love it on HBO Go. The 19 webisodes that were originally on Vimeo will be available also on HBO Go, HBO Now, and HBO On Demand starting on September 1st. So catch up, know what's going on, and enjoy every moment of High Maintenance. Oh my gosh, I got to tell you, I fucking love my Sonos, okay? Let me just tell you why it's the best, okay? Before they started advertising on the show, I had this and I would talk to people about it. Now I can tell you about this in a way that that I can express it to you in a bigger way. Imagine being able to control all your music in any room in your house with the touch of a button. You don't have to dock anything. You don't have to shove anything in anywhere. It's compatible with everything. If you're in your kitchen, you can group your kitchen with your living room. It's so much fun. My wife, you know my wife, June, who's not here at today's episode, but she hates technology. She loves Sonos. You can control everything. It works really good with Apple. It works with your PC stuff. I have it wired throughout my whole entire house. I can tell you one thing in life, fall in love and get yourself a Sonos. Two separate things. But you will fall in love with your Sonos too. Just don't have a relationship with Sonos because we saw how that worked out in that movie, you know, with that guy. You remember? Okay. All right. Anyway, I love Sonos and you will too. Just give it a try. Go to Sonos.com. Find out more. All right. Now back to our show.
Well, it was the robot's idea because he's referring to that initial no collateral damage, correct, downward bloody nose thing. Yeah. And And so it was the robot's idea, and then Josh Lucas does it, but then later Eddie, the AI, yeah, is like, you taught me. And it's like, it was your idea, Eddie. Yeah.
Well, the way they show how powerful this computer is, and this is the question that I have ultimately too, but like he goes, oh yeah, Eddie likes to listen, we'll get into the music in a second. Like, Eddie likes to listen to music, and he goes, he downloads it from the internet, and they're like, oh, which song? He's like, every song.
All of them.
You could make up a song walking down the street and hum it to yourself, and Eddie will have that song.
His taste is terrible. Oh. He has all of music at his disposal, and he's playing garbage.
Yeah, I mean, Incubus, no Beatles, no...
Incubus did all the music for this movie, so this is like... But they're
but like, can you imagine like Incubus being an incredibly popular band right now? That's so short-sighted.
Oh, yeah.
But also, we're creating... Eddie is a full-on teenager. Like, no, I learned it from watching you. I'm listening to Incubus, and does the equivalent of, like, shutting doors behind him. Like, totally. I mean, he really is.
And this is all because, we should say, this is all because... The AI was created and they put it in the plane and it's an experimental program, but then on one of the training missions, the plane is struck by lightning.
I have an issue about this. Is it because the plane was struck by lightning or is it because he's learning? Because both things, they kind of contradict each other. It's like,
I think the lightning caused something to happen.
There's like three different justifications.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he's like a Frankenstein's monster thing going on here as well, where he's struck by lightning and he comes to life.
Yeah. And when they call the computer guy Keith Orbit.
Keith Orbit. The shitty version of Tony Stark. This is like totally. Tony Stark in real life. Yeah.
And I think Keith Orbit says, like, you know, the lightning has unlocked his learning capabilities or something like that. So there's the lightning, and then also he's learning from the humans, and then also later on we find out he's got access to these files that no one else has, so there's lots of reasons why.
It also has like all of those terrible graphics to show graphics that are meant to show like the inside of the computer is like a world.
Yes.
And it's a world with all this overlapping text, and the text is in all different fonts and all this stuff. And at one point when the lightning hits and they go into the computer and it's like bzz, 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 they show strands of DNA being demolished by the lightning. And I was like, does the computer have DNA strands? Like,
lightning destroyed the DNA, which made it less human?
That's the thing. I like, don't quite understand, because it's like, he was doing a lot of things that had, like, personality before. It just amped him up. I mean, it is
was
very
like
much
drinking a Mountain Dew, baby. He was on fire after that.
I wish at one point they did, like, we don't have gasoline. Just give him the dew. And they
that would have been amazing. And then where are we going to get it? Get it from the Incubus blimp. And then the Incubus blimp comes through. Just spraying Mountain Dew all over the world.
The Mountain Dew's melting the terrorists.
Incubus, you did it again.
And thank you, Incubus.
And they just, the stealth plane just like goes like snowboarding down mountains. Like, whoosh, whoosh.
It might as well. Like, there are, in this movie, stealth planes drift like the cars in Tokyo Drift.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
They like hit pockets where they like skid sideways and then like shoot off in the other direction. They do stuff planes simply can't do.
What's so amazing though is that somehow, compared to like the car scenes in Fast and the Furious, it's like somehow the planes were like less cool. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, a flip.
Yeah.
Way less cool, actually.
It just didn't seem like there was any stakes at any given point.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
Where Top Gun, it felt like they were real planes. I mean, this is 100% computer generated. Like I was saying, I want to give Jessica Biel an award because I think she has one of the toughest jobs an actor ever has had, which is a free fall when she has to parachute out into North Korea. She's falling out of that plane for, I would say, a good 3 minutes. Like, ah! And then also like having to keep a full on dialogue.
She's doing, she's giving like, because this was a scene where I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
You know, this is a good piece of tension building because she's doing what I believe would happen. She has to be constantly narrating for the people in her headset what's happening to her. You know, I'm falling. I can't open my parachute because
the fire
of flaming debris is coming after me, and I know it'll burn out my chute. And blah, blah. That was like that to me was the best segment of the. Or the
I
best
agree.
Sequence.
She that was awesome, and the fact that she could like do that without. I mean, that's a because she has done nothing. Like she's like on like a,
chair totally.
Like spinning,
like. And she's narrating for the people that she's talking to in her headset and for the audience to be like, and this is why she's not opening her parachute is
totally.
The flaming debris.
And she seemed to land pretty easily though, even though she opened up that parachute at like 2,000 feet. She was like,
she landed, and then they did the thing where she hangs in the tree,
yes.
and then she unhooks, and you're like, oh, she's gonna fall like 20 feet, and then she falls like 3 feet, and it's like, oh.
And then the movie split. Because like then the movie is like her on the ground in North Korea.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Then it's behind Emily.
They're hitting
enemy
the whole
line.
Axis of evil, baby. Yeah. The terrorists in North Korea.
They really are.
Yeah.
It's like and then he's up in this plane. Like there's a good. I mean, I would say 30-minute sequence at like the beginning. Like Jamie Foxx literally dies at the hour mark, and then for about 30 minutes, Josh Lucas is. It's just Josh Lucas in a CGI plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, or,
and then when his plane gets blown up, then this is the crazy part. The movie exists in a world in which the four planes, like the three pilots and the robot plane, are in competition with each other. They don't trust the robot plane, blah, blah, blah. Of course, robot plane rebels against them like a teenager, kills Jamie Foxx, goes rogue, starts going to like Russia to try and fight people. Josh Lucas chases it down and with the intent to blow it up, and then they team up.
Yeah.
Then he and the robot plane like bury the hatchet and team up
like
together.
Really easily bury the hatchet.
Yes. Yes.
And I was thinking when that happened, I was like, for a movie where the premise is an AI goes evil, it is evil for like a grand total of 12 minutes in the whole movie.
And
it's basically a good guy.
And he's not even evil. He just wants to destroy a nuclear weapon facility to create peace.
Yeah.
So he's not, he's never
he's
bad.
He's never evil.
He's just smart
he's
and petulant.
Bad at following orders is what he is.
Yeah,
but Josh Lucas.
Yeah. Well, I think, Paul, that might be the point that the movie's trying to make.
I know. That it works. And I was like, the moral is essentially like, hey, so computers do know more than us, but, you know, but we got to work together.
Yeah.
But like, because the dumbest moment in the movie that you knew was setting up was like, hey, why does that thing, if it's totally AI, why does it have a cockpit? Like, for maintenance and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You knew
the
that.
The maintenance guy's got to go somewhere. Yeah. What's he going
to
do?
He's got to, a guy to work on the plane has to sit in the plane exactly like a pilot would.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, like, in the planes, and that's the other thing, just because of whatever it is, but... In plane, like, pilots are wearing, like, oxygen. They're wearing, like, full face coverings. None of these people are, like, chilling out.
Just chilling. Little tiny helmet on.
And that's it. And then Josh Lucas flies the robot plane, a plane which would have no reason to have oxygen in the cockpit or anything. He flies that in, like, a T-shirt and
that's
shorts.
That's for the maintenance guy, too. Yeah. You know, he might need oxygen when he's repairing.
Oh, well, we got it. Like, when Josh Lucas crashes in Alaska, I think he crashes. That plane,
The secret base?
The secret base. On the secret island, not on any maps. But I assure you, it's there.
It's there,
says Sam Shepard.
He fucking, like, he'd be dead. And he has a small cut that may require some stitches.
Oh, yeah.
May.
And then the doctor checks him out and is like, oh, well, you don't have a concussion. He 100% has a concussion.
He's in the world's smallest plane. It's like if you dropped a Mini Cooper out of the back of an airplane into an airstrip.
He lands a stealth fighter on the ground without engines, without anything. He crashes into the ground.
And it grinds into
then
the ground.
Steals the robot plane and flies to Russia.
And then
but wait, they gotta get, when he goes to the doctor, this is the craziest sequence because
that was an amazing part.
The doctor is like, all right, well, let's give you a tetanus shot. And he's like, no. Like, he's not even suspect of the doctor.
No, he just doesn't want a tetanus shot. Teenager-y moment of like,
he's suspect of the doctor.
Is he?
Yes.
Why? I thought he's only suspect once.
No, now he's starting to suspect things aren't right.
Okay.
By the time I think he knows the doctor's...
Right.
He doesn't want... whatever the guy's coming with.
Also, the doctor was dressed in like street clothes for some reason.
He looked like Donald Trump's doctor.
It wasn't Sam Shepard, who is the
admiral
of their division or whatever. He's their boss, basically. He's a bad guy. He's like a super bad guy.
Yeah.
And he, at all costs, he wants, like, to protect the plane.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's...
Which clearly is not working.
Yeah.
No.
Malfunctioning yeah. from moment one.
He's, this thing has not worked from the...
This robot plane is destroying all the other stealth planes in existence.
Yeah.
As well as their pilots. So the stealth...
It's killing Americans.
Eddie, the plane Eddie is essentially a terrorist.
Yes.
Working from within our Navy. And Sam Shepard basically sends Josh Lucas to what I considered to be like a Blackwater or a military contractor base in Alaska, and those guys I felt like were bad dudes.
Oh yeah, I mean,
oh yeah, they were bad dudes.
But for a guy who has issue with collateral damage, I guess he has no problem massacring.
Oh yes,
everyone in that base.
Everyone on the secret island is just like.
That explosion was so big. I was reading.
They blew up so much
yeah,
stuff.
A lot of stuff blows
500
up.
Gallons of gasoline were used for that explosion in Alaska.
Wow.
NASA had to be notified in advance because of the size of the explosion. And then the government was sued by environmentalists for shooting in the Blue Mountains wilderness area.
Oh, my God.
And they found out later that the court had illegally obtained a film permit. They were not allowed to shoot there and blow up. Well, it was worth it, guys. It was totally worth it.
Can I point out a really weird thing I noticed from way earlier in the movie quick?
Yeah, please.
There is this moment at the beginning when they come back from their training mission where they bombed like the dummies.
Oh, I think
in
you
that
may
cave.
Be. Oh, yeah.
And they come back and there's just like this kind of undercurrent of racism that happens where they're like, Jamie Foxx is like, you really shouldn't have done blah, blah, blah. And then all three of them in a row correct him. They're like, actually, you know what? She was right when she did that because this. And then Josh Lucas is like, yeah, you're right when you do this, blah, blah. And then immediately they talk about, oh, we're going to be on the USS whatever.
Yeah.
And they say the cap. They're like, oh, that's Captain So-and-so. He's really good. And then Jamie Foxx goes, also, he's black. And they all roll their eyes at him like, oh, these black guys. Oh, he's so psyched to have another black guy around.
I found that. I wrote down like, and also sexist too, because there's a scene when Sam Shepard is talking to Josh Lucas and like, these cigars were rolled on the thighs of mulatto women or something.
God.
Like that.
When he said that line.
And they both like, ha ha ha.
Yeah, they both laugh.
He said they rolled on the thighs of mulatto women. And I was like, on what planet did this line make it through?
Even that is insane.
In 1986, that line shouldn't have made it.
No, totally.
Never mind 2006 or whatever this was.
And then Jamie Foxx is like with that woman who doesn't speak English. He's like, I found the love of my life.
The relationship between Jamie Foxx and
is
he in Thailand at that point? Yeah. She's walking downstairs. He chases after her. She speaks no English. And he is like, he then is like chatting with her. They're walking through, by the way, beautiful countryside. They appear to be walking bikes through the countryside. And he's talking and talking. And then he goes, you don't understand a word I'm saying, do you? She goes, no. And then they make out. I was like, how is this possible? And I try and talk to girls all the time. I speak the same language they speak.
That's also after he's walking up those steps in Thailand in like an ancient city. Yeah. And she's walking down the steps. And she passes him. He hasn't said anything to her yet. He runs after her and grabs her shoulder.
Yes.
And then it cuts to them together.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude.
And I believe the last line he might have said to her was, can you cook?
Yes, that's right. Oh, terrible.
It's like really, really weird. I mean.
But that was the question we were all wondering.
Yes, of course. Make some good pad thai.
That's racist.
That's sorry. Racist.
She does a great spaghetti bolognese.
I just wrote down one dumb thing about Jamie Foxx. Like I was upset that Jamie Foxx never went the Will Smith route of having songs to go with movies, because at one point he said, my suit's on fire, my suit's on fire. And I was like, that would have been a great stealth rap song.
I loved, wait a minute. Oh, when she's in, I was like, none of this is your training. When Jessica Biel gets trapped behind enemy lines in North Korea, she like finds a village and like immediately like goes into the village and starts just drinking from like stagnant water.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, a goat standing
in
it.
I was like, this is, you would never do, Bear Grylls would never allow this.
They are the dumbest because they also talk about their job, which seemingly is the most classified job in the world. So public. Like, oh, every just, time they're out in public, they're like, bah, 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 bah.
Well, we got this AI plane, you know, top secret.
Oh, you want to hear something ridiculous, too? They put that plane, the mock of that, the AI plane, on the deck of a real, the USS Lincoln. And an Australian aviation magazine put it out there to be like, oh, shit, the U.S. got a brand new plane. Like,
they leaked that's images. Awesome.
But this is the first movie that actually, well, not the first, it was made in total cooperation with the Navy.
Oh, wow.
So it is like, I mean, the Navy was like, we're into this. Like, they were, I mean, but it's weird because it does not show the Navy in a good light at all.
No. At times it does, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess
like
they don't want to have collateral damage.
Yeah, I got to avoid that.
Yeah, you know, and that's true. But that would also, that mission, maybe I'm naive.
Yeah.
But, like, they would never have a top secret mission where they would blow up a building in the middle of a city.
No.
No, that's, you know what I mean? Never,
like,
that's
happened. Never, yeah. I don't think, maybe I'm just so crazy that I don't know. But, like, I don't think that, like, oh, yeah, send our warplanes into the middle, where was it, Rangoon?
Yeah.
Into the middle of the city and blow up an entire building.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, why are we doing that level of destruction when the Eddie, that's the AI plane, can literally zoom in on someone's fingerprint and then cross-check it? That, like, there was a lot of dumb shit in that
that's
movie.
Right.
But to look at someone and be able to analyze the a
zoom
fingerprint,
in on the fingerprint is amazing.
When they were able to get a fingerprint.
Well, like, yeah, speaking of that one.
No,
go ahead.
Sorry, I want to, there's another bit of crazy racism where Jamie Foxx is talking to the woman that speaks no English and he basically does terrible, like, ching chong to her. Like, as if, like, he's talking her language. Like, at the table with Josh Lucas and Jessica Biel. When they're in the.
They're on their double date.
Yeah, when they're on their double date. I was like, why is this happening?
How is this happening?
What is going on right now?
Hey, everybody, we have to take a quick break in the show right now for a word from our sponsors. Oh, my goodness. I'm eating good. Why am I eating so good? Because I'm eating with Blue Apron. Okay, Blue Apron, here's the deal, right? I don't have time to shop. I mean, I guess I do have time to shop. I don't want to shop. I don't want to think about what I'm going to make. I want someone to deliver a box full of tasty treats and then give me the satisfaction of cooking it in a very simple, easy way and then serving it to people that come to my house or my wife or my children and then being impressed with me. So what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to impress people, and Blue Apron makes it so easy because they supply everything and all you have to do is cook it. Here's the deal. Let me walk you through it, okay? First of all, why is Blue Apron great? Well, they are amazing at taking care of the world that we live in. They're Mother Earth friendly, okay? The seafood is sourced sustainably. The beef is raised humanely. Basically, it's great. And if you're in a place where you can't get fresh meat or seafood, they're going to probably deliver there, okay? They have also perfected the idea of just the right amount of food for the recipe. So you're not going to get, like, 4 pounds of beef. You're just going to get what you need. So that means that you're not going to have a waste, okay? Plus, when you're cooking together, you're having fun. You know, you're basically going to spend more time with the people that you love in your life. If you're in a relationship, if you're busy at work, that cooking gives you a moment to actually connect with somebody. It's better than binging on Netflix or something like that when you're actually just making something delicious. For less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Here's the deal, folks. Go to blueapron.com, get some delicious stuff like paprika, spiced shrimp, and cheddar grits. Oh, I've actually had this, and it's delicious. You can get the eggplant and chickpea tagine with islander pepper and tomato and couscous. I literally have become a full-on convert. When they first came on the show, I didn't try it. I didn't know. And then I got it. Now I'm into it. Now we're getting it all the time. And let me tell you, it's tasty. That's the thing that's so good about it. Summer udon noodle salad with cherry tomatoes, corn, and summer sweet pepper. Oh, yeah. I had it. It's delicious. So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free. That's 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. If you go to blueapron.com/bonkers, that actually helps the show. Then they continue to advertise with us. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. I guarantee you, you will like it. And even if you can't cook,
It makes it easy. That's the secret. It makes it fucking easy.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, now back to our show.
Oh, dude. We were talking about the PP line.
Yeah.
That's when Jessica Biel to the Thai lady goes, I got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
You want to come? And then that lady goes to the bathroom with her. So I guess that was maybe referencing the power. PP thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
This woman who can't speak English and doesn't understand what's happening.
That was when Jessica Biel's character pulled her aside and was like, are you okay?
You need to
do you
get
understand
out of this relationship.
That's happening right now.
Oh my god. Well, I also like the guy. I fell in love with the guy chasing down Jessica Biel when she crashes too. Like,
oh, that guy
jacked
was awesome.
Up,
yeah,
like
totally.
North Korean dude who's like just never stopping.
No,
like,
never stop. Yeah.
The Korean Terminator.
He was the Korean Terminator.
Did she fly with a machine gun or did she find that machine gun? Because at one point
it was in her cockpit.
Okay.
In her cockpit.
Because she she's behind a rock.
Yeah.
There's an army of people.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. Bah, 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 bah. Like, she does really well against
amazing.
An army.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure in that scene, she's laying on the ground, like in a little ditch, and there's like a little thing of rocks. And she just reaches her arm over without looking. And it's like, bah, 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 bah,
and hits like
45 North Koreans to go down.
And she hits them in that way, like the Rambo way where everyone kind of flies. Left her, like, bah, bah, bah. Like you're shooting like on shaky ground. Man, there's so much in here. I love this movie. I want to play the movie. We talk about the music a lot, so let's play some of the drone music. This is what you're constantly listening to throughout the movie.
EDI, repeat, return to formation. Return to formation, EDI, that's an order.
Like that.
The plane is like emo. The plane is like petulant and like the plane. At one point, Jamie Foxx is like following the plane, and the plane is like, Talon 3, stop following me.
Yeah.
Or leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone is what he says. Cut it out.
I'm going to the nuclear target.
I'm going to tell mom.
I for sure thought the final scene was going to be a funeral for the airplane because the airplane killed itself.
Oh, that
and I was
awesome.
Like, are they going to have a fucking funeral for the airplane?
That would have been so awesome.
It, was like,
I
it
wish.
Just felt like they were like, hey, that guy. But it was for Jamie Foxx, sadly. Jamie Foxx gets a little bit of respect at the very end of the movie after his unceremonious...
He gets the big blown-up picture on the deck of the aircraft carrier.
And then...
And his friends walk away from the funeral.
His two closest friends to kind of have this moment, which is, I would say... The least fulfilling, romantic end of a movie I've ever seen. And again, I want to play it. So
and
this
you're
is,
supposed to be rooting for them, Jessica Biel and Josh Lucas, the whole movie. Like they have a real will they won't they?
Yeah,
because she's like, you know, she's like, she's even like, you came back for me. It's like. Well, yeah, I mean, he's trying to say, like, I mean, I would hope that even if he wasn't in love with you, he would maybe try to do this,
yeah,
too.
Because, yeah, maybe because of the code of honor of the military or something.
Yeah, like he would have some bond, like, he was not going to leave you for dead. Like, I don't think it was
well, but I mean, like, what he does to not leave her is completely insane. He is, like, his plane is blown up, he steals the robot plane, he flies from Russia... No, from Alaska into Russia. Like, for him to have come back for her, I believe would have taken weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. This everything here happens within, like, the course of, like, 2 hours.
I think just the whole movie takes place in 6 hours.
So now, you know, we've had that amazing montage by the waterfall. We had that awkward scene with the pee-pee. Now we put it all together, and this is what we get. This is the final.
You and me, we're two. Two is a prime number, which makes it a lucky number. And I think we're very, very lucky.
Just tell me you'll love me, you pussy.
Credits!
End of movie.
They don't kiss?
They don't kiss. He does not say it.
No, he doesn't. He just kind of chuckles.
He does not say it.
Tell me you love me, pussy, is the last line. Cue Incubus.
Was the prime number thing referring to something I forgot earlier?
Yes, the prime number thing is referring to Jamie Foxx's original thing about they're a team of three, and three is good. You know, that's lucky. Like four is not lucky.
Yeah, so they're basically saying it's good Jamie Foxx died because now we can be the luckier number of two.
No, they're basically saying because three was also a prime number. It was when they were adding fourth.
We
didn't know four is unlucky. We don't want four. So Jamie Foxx being dead, we're still two. And two's a prime number also, so we're good.
There's so much to talk about. Obviously, we had an opinion on this movie, but there are some people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions! From top to bottom, crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon they come. Second Opinions for everyone. Second Opinions!
These are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. Okay, here we go. We'll start off with this one from Harold E. Wilson. If you watch HD for the pure aesthetic rush of beauty, color, and definition, then Stealth is awesome. It is my kind of movie. It removes me from my 65-year-old life and puts me into the clouds and depths of vision that are exciting and awesome. Some of the plots, one would assume, might leave a bit to be desired. But my kind could care less. Five stars.
Wow.
My kind.
Oh. My kind, old man? What is my kind?
I guess this is like the only chance for him to escape his life. And I love this. Some of the plots, one would assume. you could just say that you did it. Here's one that is amazing. You'll find out why in a second. From D. Mill, 1953. This movie is a combination of Independence Day meets iRobot. Once again, Will Smith plays an ace military pilot Day, but this time he has to outsmart a computer-driven superplane that the military is testing out like an iRobot.
Wow.
Buy the DVD to see who wins. You thought I was going to give it away, didn't you? 5 stars.
Oh, boy.
Oh, brutal.
That is... upsetting.
That is very sad.
This one from Patrick A. Allen. It's simple. It is only 7 words. We are close to this being real. 5 stars. And finally, I like this. This is someone who has taken the opportunity to create a sequel to the film right here. And this is William Wilson. When is Stealth 2 coming out? I think it would be so cool if U.S. pilot Fox, that crashed into the mountain, did eject with his pilot chair after his plane crash. And I'm spelling plane, P-L-A-I-N, placing pilot Fox unconscious.
To be fair, their planes were not as, like, flashy.
Placing pilot Fox unconscious as he landed between the rock mountain structure. After 5 days of the crash, his pilot chair signal became active. U.S. satellite began receiving the signal. The Pentagon and the president was informed of the situation.
Whoa.
Stealth 2, the big rescue.
The big rescue! The big rescue.
And to improve on this, and then he goes on to say that they create another mechanical airplane to save him, and that gets a...
Oh, thank God.
But yeah, but essentially what he's describing is exactly what happened to Jessica Biel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's really no difference. Now...
The big rescue.
Now, this is a first for 5-star reviews. They have a section on Amazon called Kids Reviews, and these are reviews for kids by kids. About FKBK? The movies, yes. And this is a 5-star review.
Fuck buck.
From a kid.
Okay.
So here we go. And if we find more of these, we'll read them. But they're great. It's the title is called Thriller Movie. Okay. I think you should watch this movie because to begin with, the plot of this movie has drama you would not want to miss. When I went to watch it, I was on the edge of my seat biting my nails because its drama was so good. After I went to see this movie, it made me respect all pilots. The sound effects gave me chill bumps because they were so good. And I like this movie because it has such awesome sounds, and it always kept me wanting to see what happened next. I personally think the actors made this movie better than it already was. They have made drama more interesting, the action more adventurous. I have never seen or heard of these actors before anywhere.
Amazing.
But I think they did an extraordinary job. Wow. Even my dad, who almost never likes movies, enjoyed this one.
Oh,
I've told you enough. Now go to the local cinema and find out what happens to Ben, Henry, Kara, and Eddie. 5 stars.
Well, by the way, I don't know how old that kid is, but that is better written than all of the 5-star reviews we normally get. 100%. Like, much better written.
100%. I just love how earnest and like the chill bumps.
The drama. Chill bumps.
I love that he keeps saying the drama.
The drama and the action is more adventurous. I do love that also the idea that this kid can see this movie. I have no idea who these people are.
He's seeing
it as
his dad doesn't like movies, so he hasn't seen a lot.
He is a blank slate. We obviously talked about a lot. Is there anything that we might have missed? I have one thing.
I feel like there is, but I'm spacing it.
Desi from Girls played essentially the Jeff Goldblum part and then mysteriously disappears halfway through the movie.
Yeah, she doesn't come back. Tony Orbit's there. The thing that I want, if you go to watch this movie, which I think is highly enjoyable, it's a little bit long, it's 2 hours. The one thing that really got me, and again, it's a weird thing that I noticed, is there was apples in every briefing room. Green apples.
Yes, I noticed
sometimes
that.
Sometimes two plates of green apples.
On the desk, on Sam Shepard's desk, there was green apples.
Dude, they're taking a shot at Apple. They're like, this is what's going to make this happen.
I just feel like the someone was like, you know, it's a fucking drab in here. Just give me some apples.
We need like a pop of color. But there wouldn't be. This is the military. Apples.
Literally, Sam Shepard has them on a desk, and then there's a conference table next to his desk with more apples.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I'm just looking to see if there's anything else I wrote down. But no, I mean...
I said she shouldn't drink from the water, right?
Yeah, I also feel like...
I was like, she's definitely going to have diarrhea.
I
was like, what if the rest of the movie was about her having explosive diarrhea while, like, running around North Korea?
Ooh!
Oh, I loved the line, welcome to Alaska. I forget what they blow up, but then the guy's like, welcome to Alaska.
Yeah.
I like that they totally college dorm their military rooms out on this they're on the USS Lincoln, and it feels like they were there for maybe a day, and their rooms look like full on college.
Yeah, loaded deck. With cutouts, posters, everything.
And they look older than that. And they also feel like it devalues them to a certain extent because I'm like, this is like the top military brass. I should be reading. Jamie Foxx is in like red sweats, like singing and dancing.
Reading
intense military.
The music montage where they have to do their quote unquote do their homework.
Yeah.
And it is like college. It's like college dorms. They keep talking about homework and they're all like listening to music while reading their drawings. Textbook about the robot plane.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
And when Josh Lucas, like, accidentally hits the clothing line in Jessica Biel's room, and she's like, sorry about the C cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what is happening?
Well, that is Stealth. We'll go around the table. Charlie, do you recommend people out there watching Stealth?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's worth the watch.
Yeah. Jason?
I'm a little meh on it. It was good, but not great.
It's not...
And it's also 2 hours long.
It is two hours.
It's too long, yeah.
It is long.
90 minutes would have been perfect.
I would be more on board if it was shorter. But, like, I would... If you were like, I want to check it out to listen to the episode, you speed through it.
You can skip around.
You can skip around.
I honestly think you can watch up until Jamie Foxx dies and get...
I think you do need Jesse Biel in North Korea.
North Korea, yeah.
I think you need some of that.
I'm going to say that I do think it's a fun, it's different than like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. It's just so stupid. It's like, wow. And to think like that's $135 million.
I cannot believe that's the budget for this movie.
This movie actually stopped.
And that's like... $2006 dollars.
Yeah.
So that's like $700 million. Yeah. I have no idea how inflation works.
A billion.
this actually, there's a great Planet Money with Rob Cohen where he talks about how this movie made him stop making big budget movies because it was like,
it's all about Boy Next Door too.
Yes. Yeah. And so that leads into him making Boy Next Door, which Did it work? Who knows?
We've done it on the show. So go to that episode. And that's a good back-to-back.
Yes.
The Boy Next Door, How Did This Get Made? And The Boy Next Door, Planet Money.
For those of you keeping track, I believe now, with this film, we have done a movie from 1981 all the way up to 2015. Every year we have covered a movie except for 1985. There's a movie maybe on deck for that, but if you have
no bad movies were put out in 1985. Well, everybody knows
perfect year. Yeah.
Amazing.
The year of perfect cinema.
So if you're keeping track, 2005, cross it off your list. Charlie, you can follow Charlie on Twitter and Instagram. Tell him what your name is on that.
Charlie_Sanders on Twitter. It's not going to be that exciting, to be honest with you. And Instagram is at Chucky Stuff.
And if you are ever in LA, you can see Charlie and I perform over at the UCB Theater every Wednesday night at the Facebook show. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Jason is on that show as
Sometimes
well.
Sometimes I am.
Mm-hmm. Jason, what do you want to plug? Anything?
Nothing really. I'll plug that Planet Money we just talked about.
Yeah.
That's a great episode of a great podcast. No, and nothing else.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything, but I will tell you this. Just a reminder, we do have live shows coming up at Largo in October, so definitely check out tickets for that. They are going very quickly. I believe it is October 15th, 8 and 10 o'clock. June will be at the first one. She will not be at the second one. And then also, we are at that podcast festival coming up, and today we can tell you that you can buy single-day tickets. You don't have to buy tickets for the whole event. So if you live in Anaheim, you want to just come and see us. We are headlining the Saturday night.
But you don't want to see those other bullshit shows like Comedy Bang Bang?
Mm-hmm. Fuck them.
Yeah.
You can come see us on Saturday night. We are kind of closing out that night. I believe we're like the 10 o'clock show on Saturday night. You can go to nowhearthis.com to get all the information about that. Single-day tickets there. Follow us for all the latest news and info, what movies we're going to be talking about at Largo, what movies we're going to talk about at the podcast thing at our Twitter account at HDTGM. You can also follow us on Facebook.
I loved and appreciated the person who made the pop dolls of us.
They're amazing.
We just got them and they're fantastic. And I'm enjoying all the fan-generated art for this show.
It's been amazing. You can listen to some more of that on our mini episodes. We kind of go into each one of them. And the person who made our pop art, How Did This Get Made? She now has over 2-month backlog because people have rushed to get her to make those.
Oh, the ones of us.
The ones of us.
Oh, great.
So, so those are awesome, and we are so excited that they were made. But thank you, and keep on tuning in. Now, if you think we've missed anything, give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's PAULASK, and we will address your questions, your concerns, on the mini episode. Also,
there is also a very active forum for this show.
Yes,
of like-minded people who just want to talk more about these movies and fight with each other.
And we will cover it all in corrections and omissions. The mini episodes are getting really big, so definitely check those out. Thank you, Charlie, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And that's all, folks. And a big thanks to Sonos again for sponsoring us today. Sonos is a smart speaker system that streams all of your favorite music to any room or every room. Control your music with one simple app and fill your home with pure immersive sound. One simple app brings all your favorite music services together, so lets you control everything from song to volume. It's amazing. I have in my baby's room, I have white noise going on the outside. I have Michael Jackson going. I have things going. You can play different songs in different rooms, different tracks at the same time. It is the way the future is intended. Let's get there. Let's do it. Let's do it on Sonos. I love fucking Sonos. I can't say anymore. My house is equipped. Sonos equipped. Thank you.
Now Hear This is coming to Anaheim this October. It's a brand new podcast festival where you can hang out with your favorite hosts and other podcast superfans, and everyone is going to be there. Everyone? Everyone. I'm talking Comedy Bang Bang.
Good morning, Vietnam!
One of my favorite movies about one of my favorite places.
WTF.
And then at first I thought, this is fun. Then I thought, I'm going to die.
And that's Louis C.K.'s work.
That's
Criminal.
Did you think for a second, I'm dying. I'm going to die.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was it. Absolutely.
The Moth.
They say that ghosts are people caught between two worlds. I'm caught between two worlds.
Plus, Super Ego, How Did This Get Made, Pop Culture Happy Hour, Spontanean Nation, Lore, The Memory Palace, Tannis, Hello from the Magic Tavern, and over 30 podcasts in total. Tickets are going fast, including a very limited number of intimate VIP packages with reserved seating. So get yours now and learn all the details at nowhearthisfest.com.
Hear the
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
It's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs.
Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Sashir. What happens if Sashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad.
Oh no, Nicole. Nicole. No, I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional, but
it's because it's pure to talk about
it
friendship.
Is. It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet. Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God. To
it.